This is Angelica. That's the fifth episode in my podcast of series one on Who Is She Really? So these podcasts are a way for me to, I think, mentally try to heal from my narcissistic mother. Since I was very young. And I know I wanted to kind of go in a timeline of things, of events, but that wasn't going to happen with this episode because last week my father passed. I know I've said in my other episodes that I was always very close to my father, and I was. And I know that this whole year before his passing was hard on him. It was hard on him because of the dementia. Like, he would flash of knowing what was going on and then not knowing, and it was so painful for me to watch him. And he would say, this is no life to live. This is not the way that I want to live. And I would say to him that I wish I could take it away. I wish I had the cure to help you, because I know this is not how he wanted to be. Dementia sucks. Dementia is just a horrible disease. It hurt so bad to see my father not know where he was, not know about his past, not knowing where he lived. It was so sad. So he died on October 29th, which happens to be my mother's birthday. I'm October 26th, she's October 29th. They got married October 19th, so this was a real fucked up month. Been a fucked up year. And I know I said in the other episodes I was always very close to my father since I was young. I always felt like my father was, there's no other father like him. And he had his faults, and he wasn't perfect, he wasn't an angel. He fucked up and things too. But I loved him so much. And the last couple of weeks were so hard. Just watching him from being that man who I always said could take a pile of nothing and create something amazing. He was always fixing and creating and building, and it was always incredible to me on how he would do things. My father fixed cars for a living. He was a body man, owned his own business. And when I was younger, I always wanted to do that too. And I remember saying to him, you know, I want to take over this, you know, when I get older, I want to take over this business, you know, and I want to fix cars. And my dad was like, no, you don't want to do this. This is not what you should be doing. You know, you need to go to college. My father always told me that he wanted me to become something, to never have to depend on a man. He always told me that. But I loved watching them fix cars. We would go there all the time when I was in grammar school. Until my dad would close the shop later on in the evening, and then we'd go home. And I loved just watching him fix the car. I would try to see if he would ever let me paint with the spray gun. I was like, I want to paint. No, no, no. And he just had this way, the movement of his hand. It was always so amazing to me how he would do that and it'd be perfect. And this was really hard to see him slowly not being able to do the simplest things. It was weird because my father was always nonstop. I mean, the man could never sit down. He always had to be doing something. And he still did that till a few weeks before he passed. My brother would say he was just like a hamster on cocaine, because with the sun downing, he'd be up all night walking back and forth and just nonstop. Then he started doing like this kneeling down. He would go in the living room and sit on the couch, not sit on the couch, but like kneel against it, because like he was praying. And I knew he wasn't praying because my father didn't believe in God. He was, I guess you could say he was an atheist. He never did. So I'm like, unless something in his head, but I go, I don't think he's praying. I know I would tell my husband that. And he did that like a lot. So my father had congestive heart failure. He had a massive heart attack about more than 10 years ago, and we ended up finding out he had a stroke that we didn't even know about when he had a CT scan about something else. And he had mitral valve regurgitation and needed a valve replacement. And I had set everything up. I did everything. I found the best hospital, the best doc who was going to be able to did my research. I had everything set up, and my mom was like, I don't think your father wants to do this. I'm like, well, I'm not asking you, and I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from him. And I really think my mom made him believe that it was not a good idea. And he didn't want to do it. And I know that is what was happening. I know that it closed. It wasn't peaceful at all. It was horrible. I could see that he was in pain. We had gone like our usual, my husband and I, because he would have to help me towards the end. I couldn't lift my dad. I couldn't really do a lot for him because he wasn't able to walk or really do much. So my husband had to help me. And it just felt like how it'd been the last couple of days. He was still drinking. And I would give him nutritional drinks because he didn't really want to eat. And he always told me, he never wanted me to force him. Don't ever force me, you know, if something ever in the future and I'm sick or I'm ill, don't ever force me if I don't want to. And I didn't want to do that. But at least he was drinking, so, you know, I gave him nutritional drinks and I tried my best with anything he wanted. So we went home. And I was actually supposed to have the hospice nurse come out the next day to see him. And I was sitting on the couch because I was just feeling really blue on how he was and how things were going with him. And I felt like I was, you know, all this time of him, that I'm seeing him progressively getting worse, I thought it was helping me to get to those terms that this is gonna most likely happen soon. So I wanted to prepare myself. But I was feeling really blue that day. So I was sitting on the couch and we had the ring, and my husband came running down and he said, "Hey, I think you need to go back to your parents' house. Your father's really doesn't look good. He doesn't sound good." I said, "Shit." I grabbed my keys. I jumped in the car and I got there really fast. Don't know how I got there that fast, but I did. And I did my best. I held his hand. I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry I couldn't help you. I'm sorry I can't help you. I wish I could take this away." And I just stroked his hair and I kissed him and I held his hand. And he started with the rattling, and it was so hard to be there. And I know I always kind of said, I never want to be there when it happens because I don't think I could handle it. I stayed there till like about maybe 2:30 in the morning. And he was still kind of the same. I didn't see anything, you know, if he was getting worse. It just was kind of the same. I was seeing him and I said, "Well, I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a quick shower. I'm going to grab some things. I'll be back." And then about in the morning, the hospice nurse was going to be there. So I raced home. And I put my head down on the pillow for a minute on the couch. And I fell asleep. And about 6 o'clock, my husband again came running down. And he said to me, "I think he passed, Angelica." And it didn't really hit me. I grabbed my phone and I got on the ring and I looked back. And I knew it. So I got ready. We're going to go over there. And I remember my husband telling me on the drive there, "Angelica, don't get mad at your mom. You know that she's probably most likely not going to react the way you'd like her to. So don't get angry." I said, "No, I won't. I won't." We got there. And I saw my poor little pops. My heart was broken. I wanted to wash him up. He needed to be cleaned. I wanted him to be clean. So my husband got my mother out of the room. And in a weird way, me washing him and cleaning him was beautiful. It's like when I say it, it sounds weird, but it was. And we had to wait a while because my brother didn't come in till some hours later. So I sat with him for a very long time and I put on some Argentine music for him. I took a lock of his hair. And then I just felt the need to lay next to him and hug him and hold him. And I'm glad I did that. I just laid and I had my face by his shoulder and his neck, and I just smelled him. I wanted to remember his smell. And he started getting so cold and pale. And I was waiting for him to just breathe. And I was crying and upset, of course. But it didn't hit me until the funeral home came to take him. And I didn't want them taking my pops away. I didn't want them to touch him. I didn't want him to go. And so when they were going to, I left the room and they were going to put him on the stretcher. And so I went in the living room and I happened to turn around when they were taking him out. And I saw his face, the shape of his face in that bag. I just lost it. I think I cried like I never ever cried in my life. Like I wailed and cried like I feel like those sounds never ever came out of me until that day. They were taking my pops away. I didn't want them to take them away. Could never be prepared for that. Jeez, you could never. It was stupid to think that I would be prepared for something like that. I want him back. But then everybody said, he was suffering. And then my brother said, you want him back like how he was 10 years ago. Well, yes, of course, that's what I wanted. But I wanted him back too, how he was with me. I would come over to take care of them and he'd look at me and, where were you? I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you to come. I missed you. He would always say that to me. And I'd hug him and I'd kiss him. And he'd hug me back. Hey, it's about time you came over. It's about time you got here. I missed that. The last months were really hard. My dad would soil the house. And I would get aggravated with that because it was bad. And I didn't want the house smelling. So I worked really, really hard to try for that house not to, you know, have an odor to it. But I would do it all over again. I feel like I don't have any regrets with him. He was stubborn. He didn't want anybody helping him. He only wanted me to be there. You know, my mom would say, "Ah, it's your duty." But my dad, it was different with him. With him, I think he did only want me. He did only trust me. it didn't feel like a duty for him. It felt like I was just lovingly caring for my father. And in return, him just saying those little things to me, like, where were you? I've been waiting for you. I miss you, Pops.